everybody, and welcome to the Nerd Dump, your soon-to-be favorite podcast, or possibly your current least favorite podcast. We don't know what you listen to. We don't know what you like. But anyway, this week's episode is brought to you by Taco Phil's. If you go to any Taco Phil's in the month of April and mention the Nerd Dump, the guy behind the counter will stare at you blankly and wonder why you came into his shop. That's Taco Phil's. It's sort of like Mexican food, but not at all food. So, anyway, that's our show for this week. So, thanks for coming by, people who are here.
I don't know. They keep giving me popcorn, so I keep coming back.
Yeah, that's true. We should probably stop feeding you. Anyway, if you've heard us before, you probably recognize our voices. I'm Cameron. With me, as always, pretty much, is...
I'm Steven. I'm eating popcorn.
And joining us this week is Brenda.
Surprise guest!
Yay, surprise special guest, because Cody fell in a hole and died.
Or just doesn't know how to read.
Yeah, that's actually funnier. The fact that... So our topic for this week is reading is our favorite sci-fi novels. And as it turns out, even though we usually make something up for why someone isn't on the show, this week it's actually, the truth is actually funnier because Cody has never read a book.
So he claims,
yeah.
He started reading books, but he just doesn't finish them.
Yeah,
comic books are different because they got pictures. No, my popcorn!
Yeah, I think we can all claim to have started something we read and never finished it. But yeah, he's never actually legitimately finished a book, which I think is hilarious. It's true.
I mean, that's what he claims. I don't know how he got through high school, but
hey,
he made it.
Like, I eventually read a book like my senior year of high school. I graduated on time.
Yeah, but he was one of those A students.
No. Cody's good at making stuff up.
Nerd.
That's true. He might be making up the fact that he's never read a book, and he secretly reads when you're not looking.
I can definitely say, though, he's probably never read any of the current stuff.
Okay, so nothing recent.
Nothing recent.
Nothing anyone has ever heard of, basically ever.
Probably.
Okay. So, yeah, so as of this recording, Ready Player One is getting ready to be released, and given that it's a pretty popular sci-fi novel and soon to be pretty popular movie, I would assume, we're also going to be talking a little bit about our favorite sci-fi page-to-screen adaptations. I think we'll mostly be talking about our favorite movies, but if there are any books that you particularly enjoy that have been adapted to the TV series, we could probably talk about them. Well, so we plan this out in advance, as always. So, who wants to go first?
Do we just want to start with our favorite?
Yeah. Let's start with whatever novel is your favorite, regardless of whether it's
sci-fi
had an adaptation, science fiction.
Oh, without adaptation?
Whether or not it has an adaptation. If it's just a book, then that can totally count.
Well. Out of my sci-fi novels, I really liked Under the Never Sky series. It's a dystopian future novel that kind of mixes technology with savages that have been living outside the walls. Kind of think of The 100, but they're more underground people who had a lot of technology and what kind of living that way, how that kind of affected people and then brought out. And I just really enjoyed it. It was a really good novel series. It's a trilogy, last I checked. I keep adding sometimes to some of these trilogies, but I liked the series.
Nice. Cool. And it's just, you said dystopian, so kind of not really apocalyptic, but more like Hunger Games kind of future somewhat.
I'm trying to remember the start of it. I want to say it's probably a little apocalyptic, like after the apocalypse kind of novel, but I believe it had a heavy theme of radiation and that sort of thing. But
oh, fun.
It was good.
Yeah, dystopian futures. They're all the rage.
Dystopian futures. They're really good.
That's the big thing. I think it replaced a vampire and werewolf romance.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, we needed to get away from that. It just got really
vampires dark. And werewolves are awesome. It's just not romanticized.
So now you know what's coming next. Dystopian future with vampires and werewolves.
I'm good.
I mean, the what? The Shannara Chronicles?
Uh-huh.
That kind of matched fantasy with futuristic sci-fi.
Okay. That sounds terrible, but I know what those are. So, yeah.
Netflix.
Honey, how about you?
My favorite sci-fi series is actually technically a children's series, but they are still novels.
Fair enough.
I always butcher the writer's name. Tony Dieterlese, or how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's the one that did, like, the Spiderwick stuff or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But it's his Wundla series. It's a trilogy. But it's phenomenal. It's not quite your stereotypical, like, post-apocalyptic type setup. Like, she starts off in kind of like an underground bunker. But it's her and her, like, mother robot thing that's taking care of her.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she can watch, like, nature documentaries and, like a hollow projection room. And she's just, like, she's never been out of this enclosed underground bunker area. And it isn't until some weird alien thing comes, like, breaking in, scavenging for junk and stuff, and comes across her and her robot, and she has to flee, and ends up out into the world. And it turns out that it's actually Earth, like, way in the future. It's been terraformed, basically. So everything's been changed. And there's all these aliens, and there's not really any humans anymore.
Nice.
But she does eventually, in one of the books, come across other humans. And finds out that she's basically just, like, a clone. Like, there's all these different clones. Because she's Eva 9. She's apparently, like, the ninth one or something like that. But, yeah, it's a crazy series. Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, there's a lot of spoilers. If I say anything beyond, like, the first, like, couple pages, it's pretty much spoilers of some sort. But no, it's a phenomenal series. I mean, it is made for children, so it's really easy reading, which isn't bad.
Yeah.
And it's got a handful of random pictures in it, too. But yeah, no, it's really fun. It's really whimsical. It's got a great cast in it. They've actually talked at times about making a movie out of it, but I don't think that they are now. Either got put on hold or they canceled it or something. I don't know. But I know they were talking about it a few years ago about making a Wundla movie. And I was like, that would be amazing, because if they kept it even remotely close to how the books are, it would be a phenomenal story to see on the screen. But I also really did like Ready Player One and Armada, both by the same author. Of which I'm something Klein.
Ernest Klein.
Yeah, I was like, no, it's something Klein. But those books are both really phenomenal, too. So those would probably be, like, the main sci-fi books that I really love.
Yeah.
But
cool. And what's the main series called? Wundla?
Wundla. It's basically because she comes across this... it was supposed to say, like, Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
But it's part of a cover that she found somewhere, but it was only a portion of it, and it said Wundla. Because it was torn.
Nice.
And she was like, I want to find out more about Wundla, as she was adventuring and everything, so.
That's clever.
I actually have all the books, so if you ever want to read them, you can.
It sounds fascinating. I like it. It kind of has a Planet of the Apes type twist somewhat.
Yeah. It's definitely different, and I mean, yeah, there's clear distinctions of, like, okay, well, you know, certain things have been done before, but it's hard to have a completely original idea where you're not borrowing anything from any other idea anymore, so.
True.
I think that's true of all novels.
But it was still pretty original overall, in my opinion, so I really love them.
Very cool. Well, I am a basic white boy. So my favorite and this is going to be end up probably one of, if not my favorite adaptation as well, is the novel Jurassic Park by Michael Crichton. I can't help it. I think it's a really, really good book.
So, was that a book before a movie?
Yes, it was.
Did not know that. I just assumed they wrote, because they used to always make the movie adaptations and write them out in books. Like, I had Time Cop, the book. Like, that was made after the movie, and it was breaking down the movie, basically. I just assumed they did that with Jurassic Park. I didn't know that was actually a thing beforehand.
I'm pretty sure Time Cop was only ever a movie.
Well, yeah, no, I know Time Cop was only ever a movie, and they made a book of it.
Yeah.
But I didn't know Jurassic Park was actually a book and then made into a movie.
Oh, yeah. It actually didn't come out too far ahead of it. It was the book was published in 1990, and then the movie came out in summer of 93. So they were pretty close to one another. But yeah, no, the book was significantly different. I mean, they hit a lot of the same plot points as the movie, and it's got, I would say, about 90% of the characters are at least pretty close.
Well, that's good.
But it's a much more dense, it's actually a much darker novel than the movie we got. I'm totally happy with the movie we got, and we'll discuss that later, but yeah, it's a much darker story. It's not all about action. It's more of a cautionary tale about what science can do and what it shouldn't do. Like, literally,
have we gone too far?
Yeah, like Malcolm's line in the movie, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should. I totally butchered that line, but everyone knows the quote anyway. That's very much the theme of the book itself. And it's, like I said, it's a lot darker. It has a much, I wouldn't say a down ending, but definitely a more open ending. Like, it's creepy, and it definitely leaves the characters in a weird place, those who survive.
Yeah.
There's actually, I think there are about as many survivors in the book as are in the movie, but it's not all the same characters.
Worth a read if you like the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually read the book after I saw the movie, and I was like really intrigued by how different it was, but I could still immerse myself into the world, and I was really fascinated by all the different ideas that they had in the book. And even though they didn't really explore them in the film, I mean, there's only so much you can do in a two and a half hour movie. It's still really cool science fiction. Obviously, the science is only fiction. The ideas that we could clone dinosaurs based on DNA in, thousand year old insects.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's been proven that could never happen.
But it wasn't back then.
Exactly. And the fact that, I mean, most of the science fiction, the technology that we get in movies and TV, that'll probably never happen. But it's cool to think that it could. So that's what was really neat about the science presented in the book.
Yeah. That's cool.
Now, as we talked about our favorite science fiction novels, and for the purposes of this episode, we're going to try to stick mainly with science fiction. I know sci-fi / fantasy is kind of in the same genre, basically. Yeah. But I think fantasy is very much its own thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I kind of want to keep that separate as best we can, anyway. But what are your favorite sci-fi to film adaptations? It doesn't have to be, obviously, anything that we've talked about so far, but...
When I went to movie, I really enjoyed The Hunger Games. I liked the movies as they were, and then I read the book after, and there was a lot of cool parts in the book that weren't addressed, and it was kind of different seeing Katniss in a different light. Than there were some things in the movies that made more sense when I read the book. Like, I still remember the scene in the movie where PETA throws Katniss a piece of bread in the mud around the pigs. And I'm like, okay, that has got to mean more than, like, I'm going to throw bread in mud while you're hungry there on the ground. And in the book, it was just a lot deeper. It kind of just went into more about the scene and more about why that was such a big deal. She was starving to death. When he did that, he purposely burnt the bread so that it would get thrown out because he saw her out there. And he got beat by his mom, or if I remember right, for doing that. And he took the beating so that he could feed her. So it kind of showed new light on PETA's depth and how good of a person PETA really was throughout the entire story. But it was a fun, colorful, kooky movie that I thought did a good job of being good on its own, and then some of the cool aspects of the novel.
It had a Taylor Swift song at the end, too.
Sure.
Am I the only one?
It's been a while.
I've never seen it. I have no interest in Hunger Games whatsoever. Book or movie.
You don't want to watch a bunch of teenagers just...
Nope.
Go kill each other. If I remember right, too, the author is like...
If I'm going to watch a bunch of teenagers go kill each other, I'm going to watch Battle Royale.
That's fair.
And watch it done right.
I mean, I don't know. It was good. I liked it.
Nice. I was told I needed to read the books. Never did, but I did watch most of the first movie. So I don't think I saw the part that you're referring to. It was probably a good 45 minutes into the movie. I think most of the killing had already been done by the time I started watching it.
Nice.
So, but yeah, I mean, you like violence, you'd probably enjoy that part of it. But, I mean,
if something doesn't seem interesting to me, I'm probably just not going to ever watch it. That's just how things are with me. So
that's fair. That's totally fair. I would probably prefer to watch Battle Royale again anyway.
Myself. Oh, yeah.
I think Hunger Games is good, then the next one, and Mockingjay, was really good. And then Catching Fire, Part 1 and 2, was terrible. They drug out way too little story over two movies.
Because all the books they're pretty short, if I remember.
Yeah, they're not too long.
So, but I mean, it kind of followed the trend that most book series have had lately, where they decide, we're going to milk this for all the money we can, so we're going to split the last book into two movies.
Yeah, that one, I think that one made them rethink doing that, because it really did, I feel like, ruin the ending, because the first part, part one was really political and all about propaganda, and it just kind of fell, and then the way it ended, you could just tell that it needed more, and then because they drug out all of that, they didn't have much left for the second part, and it just didn't. I think they might have learned a lesson from that one, hopefully.
Yeah.
That's probably not.
Well, you never know. I mean, there are plenty more books to get made into movies that, you know, kids are going to want to see. Well, kids, but teenagers, or, you know, people in their 20s who read the books when they're teenagers.
Well, a lot of young adult novels are read by adults because they've got a lot to them.
That is true. Most of what I have been reading in the last few years has been from the young adult section.
Yeah.
Not so much the supernatural romance section.
Oh, sure.
Which is a legit section in bookstores now.
We've probably seen the erotica on your bookshelves. Jeez, Cameron.
Yeah. Hey.
Sure.
I don't know looking through his stuff. I don't know.
Don't judge me, and yes, you do.
Oh, I do judge you.
Oh, no.
I judge all of
you. He looks for the pictures.
Right. My French erotic literature.
Okay. Yeah, sure. And on that note, something else. No, I said something else. Really, I'm trying to think sci-fi books that I've read that have been made into movies. And
hard to come up with some?
Yeah, I mean, I've read a lot of sci-fi books, but most of them haven't been made specifically into movies. I mean, I've read a lot of the Halo books, and they have made movies, but they're not the same. It's not like they're like, oh, we're going to turn this book into a movie. It's just, oh, let's make a movie in this world.
Sure, sure.
And I mean, some of them have been okay. Yeah. I mean, the Fall of Reach one that they had wasn't that bad. There was one I watched not too long ago. I'm trying to remember what it's called. Ah, it stars the guy that plays his... Luke Cage.
Okay.
He plays like an Oni officer. And it was okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I watched it. It wasn't bad. But it wasn't based on any books. And I don't know. I haven't enjoyed a lot of the stuff after 343 took over from them, because, I mean, the original Halo stuff was way better. I liked Bungie a lot more. But, and also 343 destroyed a lot of the storylines for me anyway, because the original Fall of Reach, how it went before it got switched over to 343 being in charge and changing the storyline, completely different. I hate when stories that I like are no longer canon.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I know all this. I know all this information that now doesn't matter. So, but
didn't Star Wars do a big wipe of that too? Like, they had a ton.
Oh yeah, no, there's tons of stuff that I know of lore and stuff, and they've tried to encompass some of it.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the greatest bad guys they'll never have again. The Yuuzhan Vong.
Yep.
A race that dampens the Force. Makes it to where, you know, it's like, oh, okay, it's like, here, the Mereluka race, which I don't even know if even exist anymore now. I don't know if they exist. Because I almost don't know what's fully canon or not now. But, like, they were blind. They saw, they were able to see through the Force.
Mm-hmm.
So if the Yuuzhan Vong came through, they couldn't see. They were pretty much useless. So if you were a Mereluka Jedi and a Yuuzhan Vong came at you, you were screwed. You couldn't do anything. I mean, unless you were used to fighting actually blind, which they weren't because they used the Force. See, yeah, you're dead. I mean, the Yuuzhan Vong were insane. I mean, the Sith, everyone's like, oh, the Sith are the greatest bad guys in Star Wars. No, Yuuzhan Vong. Oh my gosh, they destroy Sith. And all their biological weapons that they use, like, living weaponry. Like, I'm not saying, like, oh, they use chemicals. No, like, they threw, like, weird starfish throwing star things that would, like, latch onto you and eat you and stuff. I mean, like, crazy stuff. Like, living grenades and things. Like, ugh. But, yeah, no. So there's a lot of the stuff that I've read that they don't make movies of.
Right.
Or is no longer canon or whatever.
And you can hear all about that in our Star Wars episodes if you go back to the archives.
Yeah.
Back in December. We did talk at length about a lot of that stuff. But
a lot of the things that I read that I'm really looking forward to them actually making a movie of usually get canceled. Like, I mean, I had mentioned, like, were they canceled or postponed or whatever? Because, like I said, I know they talked about making a Wendla movie. And I know it's not a graphic novel, it's not a novel, it's a graphic novel, the Wii 3. They were supposed to make that, and they've actually, I think, started and stopped two different times on that. But as far as I know, it's still canceled as of this point, and I'd love for them to make that. But I mean, yeah, there's things like that that always happen. They just don't make the stuff that I read and enjoy. I mean, and it's... Like, I enjoyed the White Trash Zombie, or My Life as a White Trash Zombie books. Mm-hmm. I consider it sci-fi just because it's zombie. It's more modern era, but
sure,
it's not quite, like, in the future, but it's still kind of the weird twist like that. I mean, they made that, what is that zombie show where the girl's, like, works in a morgue and...
iZombie.
Yeah. It's the exact same story. Like, I don't know which one. I think maybe the iZombie, like, for whatever it was based on, might have come out first.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like the idea of the White Trash Zombie one. Like, those books are just fun to read.
They look fun. I have them on my to-read list at some point.
Yeah. But that's my problem. Like, I've not really seen a lot of the ones. Or if I've seen movies that have been based on books, I don't know what the books are. I haven't read the books, so I don't know how to compare it to be like, oh, this was horrible. I mean, I've read some fantasy books and then seen the movies that are made off those. I'm like, oh, they did this wrong, or oh, they did that wrong. But that and lots of like TV shows and cartoons and things that I loved when I was little that they made movies into. And I'm like, these are garbage. But I watch them anyway.
Remind you of your childhood.
Yeah.
Yep. You just, some of that stuff you just gotta hate watch.
Yeah.
So, I don't know that I have done that. I actually attempted that with the fourth Transformers. or fifth, whichever one just came out.
Mm. I don't know. You're I haven't seen it yet. I actually kind of want to see it because I've enjoyed the Mark Wahlberg one a little bit more. So yeah, don't say because I do want to actually watch that one.
I only saw a few minutes of it. It was much better than what I saw of the third one, which nice. I never did finish. The last one I saw all the way through was the second one.
You watch a lot of half movies.
They just kind of they're on, and that's actually how I would get into a lot of movies. Is I would just turn like we had HBO and Showtime when I was a kid, so I would just put it on at random points just to see what was on. Some of my favorite movies I never watched from the very beginning. I would catch them in the middle and like get involved, and then I'd go back and record it. Record it on my video cassette recorder.
Yeah.
For those kids out there.
See, that was the funny thing is like I'd see a movie from beginning to end like one time, but then like watch it like at least 20 to 30 minutes in to the film numerous times on TV. So then eventually, you know, I'd sit down with somebody else and be like, oh yeah, you know, let's watch this movie. I'm like, I don't remember this beginning. But it's because, like, I hadn't seen it in ever. Mm-hmm. Like, I saw it once when I was really little, and then every other time I saw it, it was at least half an hour into the film. So I never saw that first beginning portion. I'm like, I don't remember this in this film. What happened?
Yeah, we watched The Fifth Element again, and it had been a while. And Cody was commenting on that, the very beginning part where the aliens come, and he's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I don't remember any of this. Yeah.
Well, Fifth Element's a different movie. I mean, I watched, for as much as I don't rewatch movies.
Isn't it based on a graphic novel?
No,
it
is
not one.
It is completely
Valerian
original. It's Valerian, like a French graphic novel.
Which Valerian, I've never read anything on, but it just wasn't that great of a film in general.
They did some bad casting.
I enjoyed it as a whole. Like, I mean, there's a lot of stuff in Valerian that I enjoyed.
Yeah,
but it was lacking something the whole way through the film. It was just lacking something.
I feel like. They didn't do a good casting of the male lead.
No, he wasn't great.
He wasn't able to play the suave, awkward guy as I feel like he was supposed to come off as. And in the end, which I don't really want to get into spoilers, but it's not deep.
Have we done Valerian anything? I'm trying to remember. Have we spoiled anything for it?
We've talked about it. I've never seen it. I don't.
It's just not a deep movie.
The
whole premise is very like, oh, this is what it's about for the main character's storyline, love interest part, and then it ends just about as you'd expect. It's about as deep as a puddle
now,
in that sense.
The thing is, okay, none of us have read what it's based off of, right?
True.
Now, as far as I know, my roommate, he's read some of the stuff. He actually enjoyed the movie. So I don't know if there's like, if you know more about the story... You enjoy the movie more?
That could be.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't have any interest in reading it because the movie didn't do anything for me.
I just feel like Valerian just didn't... If they had done like Andrew Garfield or somebody just a little bit goofier or a little bit suaver as the main guy.
That name sounds familiar. Who's Andrew Garfield?
Spider-Man. The second one.
Oh, the Amazing Spider-Man.
The Amazing
one. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, kind of like a nerdy, but he can also be charismatic.
Okay, fair enough.
Valerian just kind of came... That guy, the way he acted it, just kind of came off like a child trying to be a man, and it didn't work for me.
Hmm. Fair enough.
It's interesting that you say his character is both suave and awkward.
Like, that's how I feel it should be, because I feel like he falls flat on some of his cool lines, but he uses good pickup lines. Like, he is... That's why it's like, it's funny, but you don't say yes to him.
Gotcha. So his awkwardness is somewhat charming, almost like he's got kind of a self-deprecating sort of...
Exactly. Yeah, okay. There's that. But instead, he kind of acts like a kid trying to pretend to be James Bond. And it kind of feels silly a lot. Like, yeah, no wonder she's not interested. But then when you figure out, too, their entire, like, background of the characters, it really feels like they were just made up on the spot. Like, they just don't have... background.
That's interesting.
Which, from what I was told, was they were actually supposed to have a background. They were like basically already supposed to have been in a relationship. Yeah. Which was not portrayed in the movie at all.
Not good chemistry?
No. It looked more like a brother and sister fighting than trying to have a relationship.
Oh, yeah, you don't want that.
No.
But.
So.
There's another adaptation.
Yeah,
I'm probably going to avoid that one.
I mean, I definitely don't recommend it. Mm-hmm. It's if you're just going to put something on in the background that's going to look pretty, and if you look over occasionally, like, oh, that's kind of cool looking, and, you know, it doesn't sound stupid.
Yeah.
Like, if you've already got whatever, I think it's actually on something now, streaming. If you already have that service.
That's fast.
Yeah. I think it's Amazon?
Was it Amazon? I was thinking it went to Netflix already, because I don't have Amazon. I only have Netflix and Hulu, and I know it's on one of those.
Whichever one it's streaming on now. It's like, if you already have that service, give it a watch. But rather, you probably shouldn't just go out and...
Or if you just want something... if it is on Netflix, because that's where I think it is, and you have Netflix, and you just want something pretty in the background that you don't have to pay attention to, just watch any of the moving art stuff. I mean, the first season all is all music from Ludovico Einaudi, which is my favorite pianist. So, do that.
Way to sell your nerd cred there. Your favorite pianist.
Yeah, he's amazing!
Oh, no, he totally is. I'm just saying.
Have you actually heard him?
Yes.
Or are you just being condescending to me?
I'm not. I wouldn't be condescending to you.
Yes, you would.
I would, but I would tell you.
Okay.
I would be honest about it.
Plausible.
Yeah, plausible. God, I'm not that big of a... I mean, I'm an a-hole. I'm not. Except I am.
Well, then.
So, but no, yeah. I actually really do love the moving art stuff on Netflix.
I've heard it's good.
Oh, yeah, it's phenomenal. I don't know how many times I've watched through all of them. It was dumb at first, though, when they put it on it, because it was listed as, like, you know, different episodes.
Mm-hmm.
But they were all individual, so you couldn't just play from one to another. They finally put them all in a season.
And yet you claim to not have time for your Marvel movie rewatch.
It's just pretty stuff and music, so I'm doing other things. And by the way, I did pick up Iron Man and Incredible Hulk today, so I'm going to watch those. Because I still have never actually seen Incredible Hulk.
So you're going to get started.
Yes, I'm going to get started.
I respect that.
Well, I mean, I'm making steps, but also I didn't have it. They're not on anything streaming.
We'll see.
I checked.
If it changes their rankings or anything, we'll see.
Well, yeah, I'm sure my rankings are going to change some. I don't know. I fell in love with Guardians of the Galaxy, so that's going to be really hard to get dethroned for me.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
It is fantastic.
Plus, oddly enough, I find a lot of similarities in Rocket and myself.
I can see that. You're not prone to violence at all, though.
No.
Apart from that.
The odd fact that I'm, 6'3", and he's a little tiny guy. You know, other than something like that, obviously he's a raccoon, and I'm not human.
Yeah,
for the most
you're
part.
A genetically...
He's not a raccoon.
He's a genetically engineered creature.
And you're a genetically engineered creature.
For the most part.
You're built like Groot, though.
Yeah, I'm more built like Groot. I wish I was built like Drax. That'd be cool.
Well, we all have dreams.
Yeah. Oh, well. Anyway, back to what we're supposed to be talking about. Say spider film?
Sci-fi adaptation.
She said the right words.
I did not hear anything correctly there.
No, you didn't.
Hooray! So, did you do your topic thingy, whatever we were just talking about?
I already did, because I talked about Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah, true.
I could talk about this at length. But I think the movie does a serviceable job of adapting.
Okay, so obviously there's a lot of movies in the Jurassic Park genre.
Yeah.
Genre? That's not the right word. Franchise. That was the word I needed. Words are hard today, man. Words are hard.
Words are hard every day, dude.
Do they have books for each of them? Or was there like a series? Like, how did they do that? Like, because I've never read them.
They released... Jurassic Park was pretty much adapted, like, for the most part, into the film Jurassic Park. A few years later, actually literally like 3 or 4 years later, they released the book, The Lost World.
Okay.
Which picked up certain threads from the first movie, or from the first book, and told a story that was not at all even closely adapted into the film. Because
awesome.
The movie came out like a year or so later. It came out pretty close to the book.
Yeah.
And apart from a few characters here and there, like it focused on Jeff Goldblum's character.
Yeah.
Even though in spoilers, if you haven't read Jurassic Park, but his character dies.
No. Oh.
He dies off page. So you don't see it happen. It's just, one of the characters says that he dies. So then they use that as a springboard to bring him back. He's like, he was only dead briefly.
Well, I was about to say, it's like, come on, that's comic book logic.
It is very much.
If you didn't see it, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
It pretty much is. But they explain it in a fairly intelligent way.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so it's not like, oh, wow, he's dead and then he comes back. That's kind of stupid. But I do think the fact that he was a very popular character in the movie is what resurrected him in the book.
I mean, that's never happened ever.
I think so.
Anything.
I think so. And,
I mean, it's only happened a handful of times in Star Wars alone.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but it's,
But yeah, Lost World was, they took certain ideas and certain character names and adapted into the film, but it's completely different. And the book is pretty good. Movies, not so much.
I just remembered a book that I read that they made a movie on, and it's pretty much sci-fi. World War Z.
Mm.
Okay.
The only similarities in it is one doctor. The name of one doctor. That is the only thing that is the same. It is a completely different story. It has nothing to do with the book. It's just titled World War Z.
I feel like that's a good title.
It's World War Z, the Brad Pitt zombie movie.
Right.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's not the book at all.
Okay.
They have one doctor in it that's the same.
I wonder what the writers of that movie were like, oh, are we going to base this off the book? I didn't like this. I'm going to do my own story.
But the book was good. I mean, the movie was good, too. Like, I enjoyed the movie. But it was like, oh. It's not like, okay, I hated the G.I. Joe film because it's like, oh, they just took all these characters I love and just did their own thing. Mm-hmm. This was like, oh, you don't have anybody or anything from this. And I mean, I guess there's that one doctor. But other than that, this is completely something different. You just named it the same title. Oh, okay.
And that's getting
and that was
sequel,
actually
so.
That was actually better, in my opinion, than taking something and being like, well, we're just going to use all these names and kind of make them look similar and then just change everything about them,
background-wise
and everything. And that's more infuriating. It was actually better for them to just be like, oh, yeah, hey, this one doctor that we have to go off into Israel to go talk to, he's the only one that exists in the book that's in the movie. Nothing else is the same.
Okay. Like, plot-wise, nothing is close.
It's
like,
zombie apocalypse.
Okay, so the concept.
Yeah,
but
the zombie
apocalypse.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's a good segue into our next topic. But first, Taco Phil's currently has a 2-for-1 promotion this week on all of their enchiladas, which, yes, are in fact enchiladas made out of chinchillas. So if you like chinchillas, you're going to love them drenched in enchilada sauce and in a flour tortilla.
So is that like a lot of hair or like just a little bit of meat?
They shave them.
Okay.
But it's totally the meat.
They had to get like 5 chinchillas when that one taco.
Pretty much. And it's an enchilada. The tacos are made of hamster meat.
Yeah, I was going to say, and plus, chinchillas aren't small.
Mm-mm. I mean, they're
No, they're bigger than that. They're like, probably about that big.
But they're like so furry.
Well, yeah, they're fluffy, but I mean, like, their fur's only like so long. So, I mean, there's still a lot to them.
Right, and these enchiladas are huge.
No,
they are terrible.
Yeah,
it is
probably.
Only a clever name. This food is absolutely terrible. But Taco Phil's does have a varied menu, and you're guaranteed to find something you like.
But the thing is, too, you got to realize, I mean, chinchillas don't bathe in water. They bathe in dust. So you're already eating something that never really actually, like, gets clean.
They don't bathe in dust at Taco Phil's. They bathe in salsa and enchilada sauce.
What about grease?
Taco Phil does not use grease. He uses coconut oil and fries up everything with that.
Keeping it healthy for the dieters.
Exactly. You should definitely check out Taco Phil's all-vegan menu on tacophil.com.org. I don't know the website.
I was going to say, what happens if we go to this website?
He literally gave me a bag of food and said, hey, you should promote my new restaurant. So Taco Phil's, everybody.
It's a sponsor. You got a sponsor. He just gives you a bag of food.
Yeah.
That counts. Keeping us alive.
I'm pretty sure it was rotten. I didn't eat it.
Maybe he asked you to take out the trash instead.
That might have been what it was.
Like,
it was a very large black bag, and it smelled bad. But moving on. Taco Phil's, everybody. Terrible.
What's going on?
I don't even know. Back to our topic of things.
Books.
Things.
Books to movies. I can do
that
terrible
stuff.
Ones.
I was, in fact, going to do, not necessarily terrible ones, but at the very least, movies that kind of miss the mark. So any adaptations, not necessarily, it doesn't have to be even a book that you, or based on a book that you read, but any adaptations that you've seen that just didn't work.
Well.
I would say, are we sticking to they had to have been from books initially? Because, I mean,
yes.
That's a long list.
Oh, yes, yes. Adaptations from science fiction.
But we
books.
Just didn't
you,
have
you
to
have
read
to,
the
you
book.
Don't have to have read the book. I mean,
okay.
It definitely helps because it kind of gives you some context. But
I'm going to go into one that I did read, which was the City of Ashes, City of Bones, City of Glass.
The Mortal Instruments
series. The Mortal Instruments
okay.
series.
Never seen any of them.
The books, the writing, I really enjoyed the books. I read all of them pretty quick.
Uh-huh.
I liked the storylines. There's a weird twist to it. But I'll avoid spoilers for you folks at home.
Fair.
But they made it into a movie, and the movie was bad. It didn't translate. It didn't have the same... Like, the books were just really well written, and I think the movie kind of showed... I don't know if I'd say more heavily on the tropes. It didn't work. And I think they got... If I remember right, the actors, it just didn't work. And then they've also made it into a TV series called The Shadowhunters.
Okay, I thought it was a TV show.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
because the movie failed.
That's based on.
The movie
failed spectacularly, so they wanted to continue it.
Yes, and
okay.
I think that they got new actors for Shadowhunters. Still not very good. I think it's still going, but we've stopped watching it. It just doesn't. It doesn't hold that same pizzazz. They just make the main character extra ditzy and extra, you know, in this world of strong female character leads,
mm-hmm.
She comes off very, things are just happening to her damselly. But then there's
yeah.
the guy that she loves and
yeah.
adores. Uh-huh. And I will avoid the creepy topic of that series.
I saw some of that, of the episodes, like parts of them, because
mm-hmm.
My mom, I guess, watches that show. I didn't know what it was based on. I didn't know it had anything to do with that book series. But yeah, no, it seemed super teen angsty and just kind of... I don't know. I couldn't watch it, definitely. It had too much of a Twilight vibe to me.
Yeah. It did look kind of cool. Like, it looked like it would be very pretty, but with absolutely no substance, is what it kind of looked, which is what a lot of the freeform CW shows kind of have. Not so much now. I mean, they've got better stuff now, but a lot of the stuff they're known for is style over substance.
I mean, I feel like both the movie and the series just didn't do great casting. I want to say in the series, I'm trying to remember who it was, some of the side characters are actually really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the main characters you're focusing on pull it down into that teenage angst. Really fake dyed hair doesn't work.
I've seen enough of the footage and promos, usually watching Harry Potter weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is pretty bad.
It just doesn't, and I actually like the main actress in it as an actress, but not in that series.
Not my
cup of tea.
Cool. Tony, what about you? Movies or TV?
I'm trying to think.
It doesn't matter.
Because... Like I said, I mean, I did read World War Z, and I did watch World War Z. It wasn't bad. Like, I mean, it wasn't done like the book. So if you're like,
mm-hmm.
oh, from book to movie, how was it? I guess it would be bad in that sense. But I
yeah.
still think the movie was done well, outside of the fact that it's like, it had nothing to do. It's like, yay, zombies!
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I still think it was a well-made movie. But... I mean, it would have been really hard to actually make World War Z into, like, a really good movie, in my opinion, just straight from the pages. So I think you had to have done something differently, but I think they would have just, like, name-dropped a few extra people and kind of changed a few things, maybe.
Yeah.
But I it was still a good one, so I wasn't, like, really disappointed with it.
Sure.
I'm trying to think, a lot of the big ones that, like, that have been, had screen adaptations I've not really read. And I'm trying to think of... I mean, yeah, we already talked about how Valerian wasn't great. I mean, that's from a graphic novel, but...
Sure. It's still sci-fi.
It is still sci-fi.
We can't get away from comics, apparently.
Yeah.
Even though we try.
Because, like... The Smurfs film, I didn't think it was that great. I mean, that was technically... That's a French comic. I mean, yes, they based it off the cartoon, but the cartoon's based off a French comic.
Not so much sci-fi, though, that one.
Yeah, I guess it's more magical, whatever, but it's in the real world.
The Immortals might be a little magical, too. I don't know much science.
The cartoon and the comic book weren't.
Mm-hmm.
But the TV show, I mean, they brought them to the real world.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's current. It's not sci-fi. I'd usually put that more sci-fi than fantasy when you go to, like, current time.
Ghost Rider Spirits Avenger.
Never saw it. I heard how bad that was.
Yeah, I did too.
That would probably be comic book adaptation.
I mean, if you're going to get into some of that, though, I mean, there's a whole long list of bad comic book adaptations.
Yeah, we've probably talked about most of
them. Oh, yeah, we've talked about
those. Those that we haven't,
sure.
though, I'm sure we'll hit them.
I'm really trying to just think of...
What's a bad...
Okay, well, there's more... There's actually quite a bit of stuff that I've read that's fantasy-based that's been made into either movies or TV shows and things like that. And I keep thinking of a lot of those things. I'm like, but no, that's fantasy. That's actually strictly fantasy. Because even, like, the Star Wars stuff that I've read haven't been, like, the movie ones. Like, they didn't make those into movies or try to make them into movie adaptations of the books. So it's like, well, I mean, I've read some of these other random Star Wars books, which are usually more kind of history and lore into different characters, you know. So it's like, well, that's not even really that. So I don't know. It's really tough.
It's like you don't keep the, it's like the bad ones I don't own. It's not like I watched them.
No.
A couple
I mean,
times.
Okay, well, I've never read The Dark Tower. Because I don't really like Stephen King stuff. Just never gotten into it. I've heard that the and I didn't see the movie either, because I heard how bad it did and how bad people say it is. So, I mean, knowing how high of praise Stephen King gets in general, and I've actually heard people rant and rave about the Dark Tower series. And I've looked through some of the, because they've made a graphic novel of the Dark Tower, and I've thumbed through some of that. I've never really, like, read it. So it was like, it looked interesting. Mm-hmm. But then to have such good actors and it's still bomb. Because, I mean, both the main actors are named people that are like, oh, they're in a movie. I'm going to see it because they're in the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
So when something like that happens, it's like, ugh, how bad was it? And like, what did you do wrong from the book? So, I don't know. That's probably about as close as I can think of offhand.
That's fair. I remember just kind of thinking, you talking about World War Z reminded me of I Am Legend.
Ooh.
See, I love the movie, but I've never read the book, so I don't know what it's based. I mean, I know it's based on something. But
I've heard it's very different.
the book is a lot different. There were actually things that they did in the movie that I enjoy a lot more.
Mm.
The relationship with the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Originally in the book, like, the dog is a very small part. He shows up maybe a third or halfway through. It's just a stray dog that is already infected with the zombie plague or whatever.
Aww.
So that part of the book happens pretty quickly. I mean, it's a significant part of the book, but it's in terms of content, it's very small.
Yeah.
Whereas in the movie, you know, there's a big part, there's a whole thing where the dog was his kids?
It was something about for the kid, but then he kept the dog because it couldn't go. And
yeah, and then of course Will Smith, his family dies in the very beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Or is a flashback.
I think it's a flashback. Mm-hmm. It just shows, like,
we don't know if they might have survived.
Yeah, no, they're dead. they did. They so did.
Yeah, the helicopter, there's nobody walking away from that. But yeah, no, in the book, it's just a stray dog that shows up, but he actually has the dog for probably a good 2/3 of the movie before she saves him and then gets bit, and then you've got to go through all that, which,
yeah.
That's a big part of why I don't like that movie, is just because
I don't
want to
rewatch it, because it's so sad.
Mm-hmm.
Dog dying movies are not movies I want to go see. It's like, oh, you want to see this family and their dog movie?
Yeah.
No, that dog dies. Spoiler alert.
Yep.
Not watching it.
Yep. To date, one of the most traumatic experiences of my life is watching Old Yeller.
Yeah, why would you want to do that again?
No, why would... I was like 5 or 6. Why would you subject a child to that?
You have to ask your parents.
Yeah, I would have... I will do that. I mean, it's one thing to be subjected to E.T. because that is a great film. It has a happy ending.
I don't think a dog dies in it.
A dog does not die. A dog almost goes up into the ship near the end, but he comes back.
He's fine.
Yeah, totally fine. But no, Yeller's garbage. And the movie I Am Legend, honestly, in my opinion, kind of garbage.
I heard that. I didn't read the books, but I had heard that the infected, mm-hmm. I guess I would call them, talked in the book and like were really creepy and would like call to him at night and talk to him.
Yep.
And I'm like, that would have, like, it sounds like the books infected were so different from the movies.
A lot different. Yeah, they were basically, the vampires were became the next stage of evolution.
Yeah.
And this is where the book became really good, in my opinion, is the fact that his character goes out at night and, you know, kills vampires. Like, he's trying to kill, you know, all these, you know, vampires that are, you know, basically have taken over and they are the new society. And in the end, he realizes he is this primitive person from the past who is, he's the monster to them.
Oh, so it's like a whole different twist than what the movie did.
It's totally, yeah. And even the title of the story, I Am Legend, has a completely different, different content or context. He is legend to them because he is this,
killer.
Yeah.
Like, he's mass murderer of their people.
Yeah, he is the lone survivor of the human race that is all but gone, and they are the new society. Vampires have evolved to the point where they've taken over the world, basically.
That sounds so much cooler.
It's so much cooler than the movie was.
Ah.
But it's cerebral, and in the end, there's no action in the end, there's nothing like that. They've captured him, they have him here. And in the end, they give him the option to commit suicide. And he does. He becomes legend to them by, you know, being the last survivor of the human race.
Dark.
Yeah.
What was his other option?
Awesome.
I don't know that he had another one. I believe it was either that or he becomes one of them.
Oh,
if I recall.
Infect him?
Yeah, it's been a while since I read it from page to page, but or cover to cover, rather. Words are hard.
I know, right?
So, but yeah.
The wording can be hard.
So, yeah, that's one that I read the book first and then saw the movie, and I'm like, when you keep the title of the film but change the meaning, that bothered me.
Well, that
it's
just
like,
sounds...
Just make it something different.
That sounds more interesting than what
mm-hmm.
they gave us. Like,
right.
What they gave us was kind of like a...
It was cool. It was really cool. I still enjoyed the film. But that sounds a lot cooler.
There's a lot of cool to the movie, I thought. Like I said, I like the relationship with the dog. I thought that was handled better.
But overall, you kind of ruined the rewatchability. Who wants to rewatch I Am Legend and watch the dog die?
I certainly don't.
Nobody.
No. And yeah, and in the end, he finds a cure, and there are other people. Yeah, there was no one else. He was literally the only person.
No other. The woman and child didn't show up. And
they weren't. Yeah, they weren't in it at all.
They weren't a Deus Machina when he...
Nope. Totally made it up.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's one that... For me, the book was so much better. Like I said, there's a lot to like in that movie, but I wouldn't watch it again.
Yeah.
So do we have anything else, or... About to wrap it up.
Probably gonna wrap it up. I feel like there's enough material we could probably tackle this again.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It was like Maze Runner. It was that awesome 100 series, which people should totally watch so they keep making more, please.
I
don't know any of these things. I mean, I've heard of Maze Runner, but I've never seen it
Divergent,
or read the book.
I think they're finally going to finish that series.
Yeah.
Again, never read it.
Movie.
Oh my gosh! I just thought of a great series that they should make into... Okay, that'll be for another
time.
We'll save it.
We're going to remember this.
Well, I have to remember the title of the book to begin with. It's like... There's something going on, and like there's these weird prisons, and like that they send like juveniles to, but like they're doing experiments, and like it's really weird. That's for another time. I need to find out what it is.
Okay.
Pony's gonna write a book.
No, it's a book series that's already written
into a movie for next time. For all
I am gonna
fans
do
out there.
None of that. Y'all crazy.
Yeah, and I just realized I was going to talk about Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which is totally
my
favorite book. I think
I've read that and seen it.
You know what? I think.
Oh my gosh!
I could gush about both of those things. I think that's just going to have to be its own episode.
Well, on that note,
it's a short book, so we'll make Cody read it.
We'll bring
Brenda back.
But I think that's a good note
words?
To go out
What's
on.
The page number.
I think so long, and thanks for all the fishes in order.
Don't panic. Thank you for listening this week. I know it was a little disjointed at the end. I'm not used to doing the intro anymore.
I'm not used to doing anything.
Yeah, that's true. You don't do anything at all.
I'm a guest. It's not my fault.
Yeah.
Well,
you know.
We'll blame you anyway because you're a woman.
I am not sexist. I am many things, but I am not sexist. That was Cameron, and you can find Cameron at...
Cameron Kiefer, and you can find me on the Twitter and tell me what a horrible, misogynistic human being I am.
And you can find me at Viking Honey. And you probably can't find Brenda because we're probably not going to give her information out.
That's what I was going to say. You can't find me.
Nope, she is a ghost.
And you can still technically find Cody, even though he wasn't here today, at Cody Whack.
The Cody Whack?
The Cody Whack. That's the one.
So be Cody Whack at thecodywhack.com.org.net because he's non-profit.
He's all those things.
We don't give him money. And you can find us also at the Nerd Dump Podcast on the Twitter and on Facebook. And if you have ideas for sci-fi novels, adaptations, literally anything at all that you want to hear us talk about, hit us up. Let us know. And... we'll try to schedule it in our very busy schedule because, as we say, we do plan these out in advance. Not really. So thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in next week.
Bye for real!